Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been chilly out there, as it should be, towards the middle of October. It was windy, highs in the 50s here this last week, I believe. White caps out on the lake, and the leaves are letting go of the trees, and they're falling, which is kind of sad. Sad for some people, not for kids. Kids don't respond to it that way. For kids, it's just one more way to have fun. You just bat at leaves as they fall. You throw them at each other. You make piles out of them. You jump into them. Everything is an amusement, practically. But old people my age, you see, they've seen a lot of movies in which falling leaves and bare limbs are an introduction to some tragedy, you see. We learn this from the movies and from novels to some extent, that this is what falling leaves mean, that your lover is going to leave you, or space aliens, you know, will come, or vampires. And so we've learned to be sad at certain stimuli. Makes no sense, but there you are. Don't worry about it. Speaking of vampires, there was a blood drive in town on Tuesday, and people gave, of course, and some people felt they maybe have given too much. They were whiter than ever, and they were white to start with. I mean, they were just people so white that you had to look at them twice, and still they didn't quite register on your eyes. The cure for that in Lake Wobegon, if you feel dizzy, lightheaded, you know, or faint, is to take sauerkraut. We have wonderful sauerkraut, homemade sauerkraut, cabbage, chop it up, put it in brine with caraway, and some people bury it in a crock in the backyard, and they put it down, put dirt over it, and it ferments. Other people, you know, put it in the basement or on the counter or somewhere. And you have some of that, and it really is a restorative. You feel your heart pump when you eat a good bite of homemade sauerkraut. And it clears out your nasal passages instantly. Just instantly, one bite, and your sinuses are all clear. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. People out doing yard work on Friday. Some people are doing yard work. Other people don't because their neighbors maybe off to the west or the north are not raking the leaves, and so the leaves are just going to blow onto them anyway. Other people rake their leaves because it feels good and it feels righteous to do that, and they don't have enough reason otherwise to feel that way. So, you know, they are compensating for some tremendous guilt, people who take good care of their yards. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You look at somebody with a beautiful, beautiful lawn and well-kept yard, and there's something horrendous in their past. You know that. No, Clarence and Arlene Bunsen were out working on Friday. They were raking. She was raking, and he was trimming and pruning, which is something they disagree about fiercely. Fall pruning. He prunes, she does not. And so they have separate plants. She has her lilacs, and he has his lilacs, and they disagree about this every year. She thinks that's the dumbest thing you can ever do. Look at your lilacs, she says, in the spring. They're all puny, and look at mine. They're blooming. They're burgeoning. You don't need to prune lilacs in the fall. It just, you're killing your own plants. You just put some mulch around them. That's all you need to do. She used to say that, but she doesn't even bother to go that far anymore. She just says, well, that's one way of doing it, she says. And then in the spring, when she sees them all puny and withered, she says, "So how's that fall pruning working for you there?" That's one of many disagreements they have that helped to keep that marriage together, 52 years and profoundly disagreeing on most things. But it keeps them together, because why would you leave a marriage in which you believe in your heart that someday this idiot is going to see that you are right? And you will hear it with your own ears. This person will say, "Darling, you were right." It'll be the most wonderful thing. It'll be like the rapture, except, you know, you won't go flying up into the air. And so they wait on that, and there they were. She was raking, he was killing his lilacs out in the yard. It had been a rough night for them. Thursday night, he was yelling in his sleep and woke her up several times. He was yelling and thrashing around in the bed. She thought for a moment that he was having a brain seizure, but he was talking and making sense. So if it was a brain seizure, it was a very odd sort of brain seizure. He sat up in bed and he was asleep, and he said, "This country has got to stop spending more than it's bringing in. We can't just keep printing money. The Soviet Union did it, and look what happened to them." She said, "Shut up, lie down, go back to sleep." And then an hour later, 2 a.m, he was up again. Now he was talking about borders and immigration, and you're not a nation if you don't have borders, and who says we can't build a wall out there? I mean, he's a Republican, but he's been a very quiet Republican for years. And he's never been this sort of a person. And then he was sitting up in bed, asleep, and he was yelling about global warming. It's just somebody's theory. There are no facts to back it up. It's just a bunch of scientists who want to take control of people's lives. That's all that is. "Oh, hush," she said, "hush." And then the smoke alarm went off, and that did not wake him up. The smoke alarm went off, and she went in his closet, and she found a golf club, and she stood up in the bed, and she poked at the reset button with it, and it went off, and then she went back to sleep. And then it was going again at 4 o'clock in the morning, beep, 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 and she grabbed that golf club, and she stood up on the bed, and she swung at it 2-3 times, and she knocked it off, and it was silent. And then he woke up, and then they couldn't go back to sleep, and they went down to the kitchen, and they made themselves some coffee, as you would do when you cannot sleep. He sat there in these horrible pajamas that he's only had for a couple of weeks, that she gave him, this horrible plaid pajamas. They're sort of blue, green, gray, yellow, black, brown plaid. Whatever Scottish clan might have had that plaid died a long time ago. But he said, "I wish you'd tell me where you got these pajamas and what you paid for them. They're keeping me awake at night. They're giving me dreams." She said, "I paid $1 for them because I got them from the Turnblad estate sale." Well, there it was. There's the reason for it. He was wearing the pajamas of a deceased Republican. He's a quiet Republican, Clarence. He doesn't say much about it. And his brother Clint is the Democrat in the family. And when you run a small business like Bunsen Motors in a small town, you want to have one of each. And you don't want to make a big thing about it. But he took the pajamas off, and he went up and he took a shower, and he felt Entirely different. Their grandson, Brad, came down. Brad, who's spending the weekend with them, the MEA weekend, and he came down. He woke up about 8 o'clock in the morning. He's studying Chinese at McAllister and doing really well, getting straight A's. He's a socialist, Brad is. Although Clarence tells him that you know, you're going to go to China on a field trip in the spring with your class, and, you know, if you get good at Chinese and you decide to, you know, make a career in China, you're going to have to learn something about capitalism, because that's what they do over there. They may call it communism, but it's capitalism, what they're doing. It's like the Irish. You know, the Irish call it coffee, but actually it's whiskey. And so he sat down and he had some coffee with them. They try not to argue when he is around. And then he laughed and he pointed, and here in the backyard, three deer had walked into the yard. There was one male, two females, and they were staggering around as if they'd been shot, but they hadn't. They were staggering, and Clint, who lives next door, was driving them with a cane pole with a red flag at the end of it. And Clarence opened up the back door. He said, "What are you doing?" Clint said, "They're drunk. They were in my backyard. They were eating apples off the ground, and the apples were fermented, and they're dead drunk, three of them, three drunk deer in my yard." And then one of the females vomited, and yes, it was apples. You could see that. They were just standing there groaning and swaying back and forth. Clarence said, "What are we going to do?" Clint said, "We're going to herd them through town and try to protect them from dogs harassing them, and we're going to get them up into the woods, and then they're on their own." So Clarence and Brad, they got poles, and they attached red socks to the end of them, and he got a lantern out with a flashing red light, and they herded them down the alley, and they came up McKinley Street and across Main Street. And people came out of the Chatterbox Cafe seeing this parade of drunken deer and three men, and they joined in the parade. And pretty soon there were 20, 30 people there. There were some dogs who looked at this parade and thought about joining it and decided not to. And up the hill they went past Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, and the male deer sort of staggered, and he almost fell. He was aware of these men around him, and he had a responsibility to protect these females. And so there was a little adrenaline rush, I suppose, and he tried to charge the men, but he couldn't. And he's just staggered and fell to his knees. And somebody started singing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You'll raise high the royal banner, it shall not suffer loss. And they sang, standing on the promises, and they sang one hymn after another, onward Christian soldiers, 40 now, 50 people in close formation around three drunken deer and men holding red flags. And they came up past the high school, and they came up and up towards the woods, and here in the woods was a group of 14 people, and they were members of the Turnblad family, the deceased Republican, whose trousers Clarence had been wearing every night now for 2 weeks and having bad dreams. They were there, and it was a funeral, and he had requested that his ashes be scattered under his deer stand. And there it was, the tree where Mr. Turnblad used to sit and wait to kill deer, and the deer diverged off to one side as one of the sons, the Turnblad boys, was reciting the poem, I Took the Road Less Traveled By, and that has made all the difference, which was odd to think of Mr. Turnblad thinking of himself as some kind of independent, some kind of free thinker, but he wanted this recited at his funeral, and they scattered the ashes around in the leaves, and the 50 people who were accompanying the deer joined the funeral party without explaining what they were doing up there. And everybody sang, Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. And then there was a prayer, and the Reverend Kohler offered the benediction, and then some mushroom hunters came through the woods with bags of morels, and it was quite amazing. Clarence and Brad hiked back down the hill. Brad said, does this ever happen? Clarence said, every year at this time, exactly at this time, right around the time I prune my lilacs. Yeah, we all get together and we accompany deer up the hill and, you know, ashes and mushrooms, all the rest of it. It's just a tradition. Come back next October and we'll do it again for you. You'll see. Brad had to go back down to the cities, go back to class. And Clarence gave him a little brown bag as a gift. He said, open it when you get home. Brad drove just out of town, and then he opened it. It was a mason jar with sauerkraut in it. And it was a pair of pajamas. They were plaid. They were kind of blue and green and gray and yellow, black and brown. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.